Yes. I was told that it's okay to translate some into Spanish, as we have some Spanish people visiting. I'm thankful for the Lord's care for each and every one of us. The Lord knew that they would visit today. And He wants to provide for all of our needs. Our God is awesome. El Señor es muy grande, tan poderoso. No hay nadie como Él. There's no one like the Lord. It's so good to see so many children who are here today. Children need the Lord. People of all ages need the Lord. Todos necesitan el Señor. Los niños, los jóvenes, los adultos, people of every age need the Lord. And God wants us all to know Him. The Lord has been reminding me this week of just how good He is. El Señor, esta semana pasada, está ayudándome a entender tan grande, tan bueno, Él es. Let's turn to Psalm 27. Salmo 27. God wants us all to understand that He is far greater than anything He's created and anything in this world. Dios quiere que todos nosotros entendemos que Él es más grande y tanto mejor que cualquier cosa en este mundo. Salmo 27, Psalm 27, beginning with verse 4. David said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek." One thing. David, querido, una cosa. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Estar con el Señor. All the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Dear saints, when was the last time that you took time by yourself in your home? Just to spend time beholding the beauty of the Lord. He is so precious and He is so good. And He calls us to desire that one thing that David desired, to spend time with our God and to behold His beauty. I don't know about you, but historically getting up early in the morning is somewhat difficult for me. I tend to be more of a night person. But it seems the Lord is changing me, because this last week, many days, the Lord helped me to get up a bit earlier. I'm sure many of you probably get up far earlier than I got up this week, many of those days, but for me, 6:30 was somewhat early. To spend some time with God before taking care of other responsibilities. And it was such a joy to have that time to behold the beauty of God and to allow God to speak to my heart through His Word. And to meditate upon who our God is. You see, saints, if we're not careful, we could fall into the trap of thinking, if I read my Bible for a few minutes a day, I can check it off my list. If I read a verse a day on a Bible app, I read the Bible today. Or if I read a certain amount of the scriptures per day or a certain number of minutes. I can check off that box. But dear saints, that is not what our God is calling us to. He's calling us to intimacy with him. Dios quiere que cada uno de nosotros tenemos tiempo cada día con Dios. Cada día leyendo la Biblia, la palabra de Dios. Para que podamos conocer nuestro Dios verdadero. El Dios de la Biblia no es un Dios falso. Él es verdadero. La verdad. Our God is true. He's the God of truth. And he wants us to enjoy him day by day. God warned the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 20. He taught them. In Exodus chapter 20, I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Lord said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. We see the same theme of God's jealousy for us in the New Testament. In the book of James, the Lord tells us this. In the book of James, James chapter 4, James chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, it says, Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? God is jealous for you. He wants all of you. He wants your heart. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A similar theme also in 1 John chapter 5. The last verse in the book of 1 John, which is so much about loving God. And it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Is our God jealous for us? Dios quiere que nuestros vidos son para Él. Dios quiere que creemos en el Señor Jesucristo, el Hijo de Dios, por quien Él ha creado todas las cosas en este mundo. Y Cristo Jesús murió en la cruz por nuestros pecados y fue sepultado y al tercer día Él resucitó de los muertos y vive para siempre. Confía en Cristo Jesús. Our God wants us to trust him with all of our hearts. God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus, God created all things. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead the third day. And God wants us to have a living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only trusting him as our Savior, but living our lives walking in intimacy with God, moment by moment and day by day. Enoch walked with God. Dios quiere que usted también camina con Dios, anda con Dios, obedeciendo sus mandamientos por amor a Él. God wants us to walk with him, obeying his commandments because we love him. A very sad thing had happened in Israel. Due to the unfaithfulness of God's people, many tribes were torn away from Judah. And when there was the new king, Jeroboam, in Israel, the northern kingdom, he was concerned that people would go down and offer sacrifices in Jerusalem and that their hearts would be turned back to the king in the southern tribe there of Judah. It's very important that we don't take things into our own hands in life and come up with our own solutions, but that we fear God and obey him. Jeroboam did a horrible thing. He had two golden calves created. He put one in Bethel. Bethel means house of God. The Lord should have been worshipped there, but instead it became a place of idolatry towards this golden calf. Another one up in the far north in Dan. He set up a priesthood, not from the Levites, but from anybody, from any tribe. He even created some new gathering times in this false religion. Sadly, there have been many false religions created. And sadly, many people in that northern kingdom of Israel were swept away into idolatry for generation after generation after generation. God wants your heart. He wants you to be faithful to him. It could have been easy, perhaps, for someone to grow up in that northern tribe of Israel, northern kingdom of Israel. After this idolatry had been continuing for decades, and they might have thought very little of the idolatry that was taking place. They could have read the scriptures, but they may have thought, well, times have changed. But God's word does not change. La palabra de Dios no cambia. El Dios de ayer es el mismo Dios hoy y en el futuro también. God's word does not change. God is the same God today as he was yesterday and as he will be in the future. We need to be careful of things in our culture. We need to be careful of comparing ourselves to the people in the world around us. People who've been swept away with allowing all kinds of things of entertainment to consume hearts and minds. And to lead the affections away after TV shows, sports, internet, news, romance novels, magazines. There are all kinds of things of the culture that the devil would love to use to lead our hearts away from being fully devoted to our God. But our God wants our whole heart. And he wants us to love him faithfully from our heart every day. So that more than anything else, we would long for that time to be with our God, to behold his beauty, to learn from him, to be taught by him, so that we can obey him. Dios quiere que queremos tiempo con él cada día para leer la palabra de Dios, para entender quién es nuestro Dios, para que podemos amar a él y vivir por él y adorar a él. We're going to read in 1 Kings, chapter 16. It was a very sad time in Israel. The Lord had promised his people that if they obeyed his commandments, he would send rain. And they would have plenty. But if they disobeyed him, the rain would be withheld. You can find those promises in Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And in 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning with verse 29, it begins to describe a very sad time in Israel. God wants us to trust him even in desperate times, even in times of darkness, in times of difficulty. We can trust in our God. Confía en Dios, aun en tiempos de obscuridad, en tiempos que el mundo está andando en pecado, sin pensar. Confía en Dios y anda en la luz. Trust in God and walk in the light, even in times when the world is chasing the darkness. 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning with verse 29. La primera de Reyes, capítulo 16, empezando con versículo 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri, it's a very sad time, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Things in our country morally, at least as far as some things in the government are concerned, they seem to be going worse and worse. Verse 31, and it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him, that is for Ahab, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Remember Jeroboam? He's the one who made those two golden calves and had the people worship the golden calves instead of worshiping the living God. And Ahab made things even worse. As though that had been a trivial thing, he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. If I remember right, the name Ethbaal means with Baal. And with Baal had a daughter, Jezebel, and that's who Ahab chose to marry. Ethbaal was king of the Sidonians, and he went, that is, Ahab went and served Baal and worshipped him. Ahab was flagrant in his idolatry and his worship of false gods. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, he set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. God had warned through Joshua that if anyone sought to rebuild Jericho, it would be at the cost of the death of their children. And this was a sad time when people were going against the word of the Lord. And it was in the midst of this great darkness that the true and living God, Yahweh, sent his messenger, his prophet, Elijah. Elijah means, my God is Yahweh. Elías significa, mi Dios es Jehová. Mi Dios es Jehová. My God is Yahweh. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now, did Ahab fear the Lord? Was he flagrant in his wickedness and his idolatry? Was it dangerous and risky from a human standpoint for Elijah to go and share this message with Ahab? Tremendously so. But God is faithful. Y Dios quiere que somos sus mensajeros en este mundo, compartiendo la palabra de Dios y compartiendo de Cristo en un mundo que no quiere Cristo. Necesitamos ser la luz. God wants us to be lights, even in this dark world that does not want the Lord Jesus. God calls us to be lights. He calls us to be his messengers. We see something very interesting in this chapter. I'd like to take a quick look at the anatomy of the chapter, but I don't want to focus so much on the anatomy that we miss the physiology or the life of this chapter. There's a sequence of seven that I noticed in this passage as I was studying it out. First, there's a test. Well, God called Elijah to go and speak to Ahab. And Elijah was faithful. He trusted God. And he went and communicated the message. And then, after the test, comes the word of the Lord. When you're facing trials, when you're facing difficulties, don't take it into your own hands and your own mind. Lean not on your own understanding. Remember Jeroboam? He leaned on his own understanding. He tried to come up with his own solution to what he thought was a problem, and it led towards sin for generation upon generation. Instead of seeking your own understanding in the midst of trials, hear the word of the Lord. Seek God. Find your answers to life's difficulties and problems through the word of God, and choose to trust and obey God. Cuando tiene aflicciones o pruebas en esta vida, no confía en sus propios pensamientos. Confía en Dios. Escucha a su palabra, lee su palabra y obedece lo que Dios dice. Number two, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Here, by the command of the Lord that God gave to Elijah, we see just how dangerous it was, or risky, or precarious Elijah's situation was. I don't think Ahab wanted to hear the message that was communicated to him by Elijah. But thank God, Elijah was faithful, and God showed Elijah what to do next. God provided his word. God gave a clear command. Number three, God gave a clear command. And number four, God promised to provide. Verse 4, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And then number five, the promise God had given was mixed with faith. That is an essential ingredient. Do not miss faith. Because God tells us in his word in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, necesitamos fe en el Señor Jesucristo y en nuestro Dios. Porque sin fe, salvación no es posible. Perdón de pecados no es posible sin fe. Obedecer a nuestro Dios en la vida no es posible sin fe en nuestro Dios. We need faith because without faith we cannot be forgiven for our sins, nor can we please God in the way we're living our life unless we live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, or it wasn't useful to them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Have you ever seen one of those epoxies? It has two ingredients, those really strong glues. They come with two tubes, and you need to mix the two together in order to get this very strong bond. That's how it is with God's word. God's word is living and active and powerful, and God can work mightily in your life. But in order to see God work powerfully in your life and to experience God's marvelous working in your life, you must let his word be mixed with faith. And then you can see in your own life and in your own experience how strong our God is and how faithful he is and how trustworthy he is. Make sure that you don't only hear God's word, but you mix it with faith. Elijah mixed God's word with faith, and it led to number 5, obedience. Verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And then we see number 6, God's faithfulness experienced. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And then number 7, the cycle begins again. We see another test, another difficulty. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Why? Why did the brook dry up? Well, remember what happened in verse 1? God had promised to Ahab through Elijah, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. And so finally, the brook dried up. We see a marvelous thing here. Elijah did not grumble. He did not complain. What happens in your life, in my life, when it seems like a brook of one sort or another of God's blessing is drying up? How do we respond? Will we trust God implicitly, knowing that he is our God and he deserves our trust at all times? May God help us to do so. And when we're met with trials, may we hear the word of the Lord. May we hear his clear commands. May we hear his promise of provision. May we mix his promise with faith and actively obey him and experience God's faithfulness, even as Elijah did. Knowing that more trials will come. Trials are spoken of much in the New Testament of the Scriptures. But God has a purpose for trials. Dios quiere, tiene un propósito por pruebas en nuestras vidas, para que podamos tener más fe en Dios. Y que confiamos en Dios. God has a purpose for allowing trials in our lives. He wants us to trust in him and to become more like him and to experience his faithfulness. It talks about that in Romans chapter 5. It also talks about that in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, that's the opposite of our natural human response, isn't it? But with God's help, we can consider it pure joy when we face trials of different kinds. I remember when I was a student at the University at Buffalo, and there was some major test or project coming up. I forget whether it was an organic chemistry test or something else, but I remember I was at the chapel, Amherst Bible Chapel. I think it was at a midweek prayer meeting and Bible study or at a men's Bible study. And the Lord reminded me to consider it pure joy as I was facing the trial. You know, it changes our perspective when we consider it joy as we face trials. Because then instead of feeling hopeless and desperate, we can trust in our God. Cuando entendemos que hay un propósito por pruebas en nuestras vidas, podemos tener esperanza en nuestro Dios, sabiendo que Dios quiere que tenemos más fuerza en nuestra fe, más seguridad. God tells us in James chapter 1 about trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And notice what God connects here in James chapter 1 with trials. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Faith. In trying times, we need faith. We need a faith that understands that our God is better than anything this world has to offer. That time spent enjoying communion with our God is precious to God, and it should be precious to us. Our God calls us to love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And how can we do that unless we love him more than any of the idols that may be offered to us today? What will your heart chase after today? May it chase after your God. May you pursue your God, pursuing intimacy with him, enjoying him, loving him, worshiping him, serving him. And even as you work, working in his name. This cycle of trials and God's faithfulness continued on in Elijah's life in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. Notice what happened after the trial. The word of the Lord came. In the midst of your trials, seek the word of the Lord. Seek God's wisdom for how to solve your difficulties. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath. With the word of the Lord came the clear command. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. And then we again see God's promised provision. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is perhaps a most unlikely source of provision. A widow, a woman who didn't have much. And in fact, we find out she was getting ready to die. But God knew she was there and God was concerned about her, even if nobody else in the community was. It would seem as we read on that people in the community either didn't care for her or didn't know about the desperation of her situation. But God knew. Thankfully, again, God's promise was mixed with faith in Elijah. In verse 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, you see, just as God had promised, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Now, this was not only a trial for Elijah, this was also a trial for this widow. And we see that she was willing to serve, because when he asked for water, she went to get some. But when he asked for bread, she didn't know how she could handle such a request. Verse 12, so she said, as the Lord your God lives. It seems she had some degree of faith somehow in Yahweh, because she said, as the Lord your God lives. Some understanding of who he was. But then she said, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. You see the difference between how Elijah responded to the tests and how the widow to this point was responding to the test? Elijah responded in faith with an act of obedience, but the widow responded in desperation and without hope. Many people in this world, including perhaps some of your coworkers and neighbors and strangers you may see on the street and in the grocery store, they're like this widow of Zarephath. They're without God and without hope in this world. and they're desperate, and they don't know the word of the Lord, and they don't know the promises of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without God sending some witness to them to tell them about Jesus? God wants to use you, and he wants to use me. How will we respond to the test? Will we respond with active obedience and go and tell the lost world around us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's better than anything this world has to offer, and who is their only hope for salvation and forgiveness and eternal life? May God help us by his power to do so. Now, to be fair to this widow, she hadn't yet heard the promise of God. At least we're not yet told so in this passage. But notice what happens as she hears some comforting words and the promise of the Lord. Verse 13, "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth.'" God made her a promise. How did she respond? It seems that the promise was mixed with faith, because it says, "So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days." A miracle of the Lord, multiplying that food. "The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." What happened after this? Another trial. So it is in your life and mine. You might wish that all the trials would disappear, that one day you'd just be through with the trials. But as long as we're in this life, we will face trials. But instead of being hopeless, God calls us to trust him and to hope in our God who is faithful. Instead of being without hope, God calls us to hear his clear commands, to mix them with faith and to respond with active obedience. And as we do so, we can experience God's faithful provision. Our God is faithful. The Lord Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the other things you need, will be added to you." Are you putting God first in your life? May God have first place in your heart and in mine. May we seek to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And as we do, may we trust him and follow his clear commands and experience his faithful provision. Because our God is worthy of such trust, and he's faithful to provide. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the true and the living God, creator of heaven and earth. We thank you, Lord, that you neither faint nor are weary. Lord, there are many people here today facing difficulties of all different sorts, most of them probably unknown by others. Lord, we pray that you'd help each one to draw near to you, to make sure that their faith is resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only regarding their hope of eternal life, but also trusting in you, Lord, with all the trials that we face day by day. Lord, help us to read your word, to hear your word, to hear your promises, to mix them with faith, to actively obey, to experience your faithful provision, and to give to you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. Lord, we thank you that you answer prayer. We're reminded here of Elijah and how you answered his prayers. And Lord, we thank you that eventually, after you got the nation's attention, you sent rain. And you provided in that way again. Lord, we pray that as we experience trials in our lives, that you would have our attention. And that you'd have our hearts. And that we would love you faithfully, diligently, day by day, moment by moment. And that we would each, like Elijah, seek to be faithful to your word, doing what you call us to do. Lord, we think even of Saul who said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Or what do you want me to do? Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to do what you want us to do today and each day, and to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Help us not to chase after idols, but to let you have our whole heart, that our whole heart would be for loving you and glorifying your great name. May you be magnified. Lord, even if there are things that our parents may have done that were not pleasing to you, help us not to continue in any sort of idolatry of any sort, but to be set free to love and serve you and worship you with all that we are and have. We ask these things, O God, and we give you thanks. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Dios le bendiga.